All right, folks, we're back for another episode of You Are Not Your ROAS by Triple Whale. I'm Braba, CMO and host of the show. I have my partner in crime, co-founder, owner, operator, and gem of a human, Max, with me. And then we absolutely have a screamer for you today. The man, the myth, the legend, Chase Diamond. Chase, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to see you. How are you both?
Well. Where are you at, Chase? Where are you? I'm in Austin, so I'm in the satellite campus in Austin. Max is in the HQ in Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. Coming from?
Yeah, I'm coming from Orange County, California.
Oh, fancy.
The OC.
The avocado the toast of the country, if you will. So speaking of California, you went to school there, right?
Yep. I'm born and raised Orange County, California. I went to school at Chapman University, which is in the city of Orange.
Oh, cool. What'd you study?
I studied business, management, and marketing, played college soccer, was in a fraternity, worked eight jobs and internships, was in, all these different types of things. So I did a lot.
Would you play soccer? What position?
I played, growing up, I played center mid.
And you got some legs.
In college, I played. in college, I played out right back.
Oh, and then you went into right back. I guess you can still come up. It's more fun too. You don't have to run as much. That's awesome, man. So, how did that transition into Boundless Labs? That's the big thing right now.
Yeah, it's like the really long story short. I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease at 13. After being sick for a year, I basically took it upon myself as a 14-year-old to teach myself guerrilla marketing. That was like, calling 14. Friends' houses, sending emails. Yeah, at 14, taught myself guerrilla marketing. So, been doing it for a while. Kind of got started through that. I was taking ads out in the local paper, was organizing walks and fundraisers, while sending emails and using AIM and MySpace and some of these different platforms to get the word out to friends and family. So, from 14 to 16, dedicated my life to, driving awareness and fundraising for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. And then from 16 to 22, I was the youngest board member on the charity. So that's kind of how I learned marketing. And then in college, I had to get jobs and internships as I had to pay for tuition alongside my parents. And that was the only way I could go to college. So I was just kind of hustling, doing this, that, and the other. So from college and one of the jobs and internships I had, I got a full-time offer after I graduated to move to LA and work at this edtech platform where I built a platform that connected students on college campuses to others in their classroom to make learning more collaborative.
Oh, cool.
So did that for about a year. Went to go work for a YouTube competitor. We were 7 or 8 people. We raised $10 to $15 million. And we were getting about 30 million people to our site every single month. And then from doing that, after 6 months or 12 months, I got burnt out from, commuting back and forth between OC and LA. It was about 2 hours each way. Started just doing things on the side. I had a dating site that went viral called Bernie Singles. I had 2 or 3 million people actually go to the site through the press and Facebook groups. I had an Instagram growth tool for musicians to help them promote their following that I sold.
Are you a musician?
No, I'm not. I saw some friends building Instagram growth tools that were really general. And I had happened to have a friend that scraped SoundCloud that gave me this list of hundreds of thousands of artists. So I'm all right, Instagram automation, just going to do the branding towards musicians. It's going to be the exact same tool as it would for anyone else, but we're just going to brand it this way. It's called Sound Juice.
It's great.
It was kind of funny.
I love it.
Yeah, and so had Chase a is a hustler. On the side. Had a
if you ever work with Chase, he's a hustler. He's a pleasure to work with. He just gets things done. He's a team player. It's been a pleasure working with Chase.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. So I guess long-winded to round this out, then from there, built an email travel series that grew from 0 to 500,000 subscribers in 10 months.
Oh, that's the best post ever, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll put a show link to it. It's so good.
What was that? Can you explain that?
So it was an email travel series, much like The Hustle, The Skim, and Morning Brew. And I did a thread and a video recently on how I did it. There are 4 main channels I talked about. Cold email was a big acquisition channel. We use giveaways, ambassadors, influencers. We are buying and building and scaling Instagram accounts to the millions, the tens of millions. So that was that. And then finally, Nick Shackelford, who's, I know also kind of involved in an advisor here, who's now my business partner at our agency. He got me into e-commerce about 4 years ago because some of the stuff I was doing, cold email and some of these community stuff, was a little bit in the gray. Let's just say some of the scraping and things like that was in the gray. This was before GDPR and California and all those things. So he said to me, why don't you come into the opt-in e-commerce world, do email marketing and crush it? And I haven't looked back ever since.
Wow. That's quite a trajectory, my friend. So through all that, you've achieved so much. But in there, there seemed to be some trials and tribulations, obviously, right? What did you lean on, or like, is there a system or strategy or something that you implemented to help you, you know, kind of stay the course? Because you raise, get to a company, small company, it raises and then goes out. That's brutal. And then just health issues, having to figure that out. That's brutal. You're one of the happiest people I've encountered. How do you keep that jubilance just in perpetuity?
Yeah, I think for me, like, just my experience with Crohn's disease, the fact that, like, every day feel, you know, decent and feel well, like, that's such a blessing. So I think just through my experience with that, like, all this other stuff, not that it's easy, but, like, in retrospect and kind of in comparison, it's a lot less, you know, impactful and monumental. I think that for me, and I don't remember saying this, but my parents told me a couple years back that I have three younger brothers, and I said to them, I'm so glad if anyone was to get at Crohn's, it was me. So I guess I've always had, like, this attitude of, like, hey, you know, it's just a bump in the road. We're going to get through it. And I think now at 28, I've had enough kind of repetitions of, you know, get knocked down, get back up and build twice as strong that I'm not really, you know, too concerned if these small things get in the way.
And I love that. I love that. I have sometimes when I get stressed out, I tell myself it's not personal, it's not forever, and it's not important. And just kind of repeat that. But I love how that's just so ensconced in gratitude. I mean, that's just the path. It seems to be like
an ongoing theme with successful people.
Happy people.
Successful happy people.
Well, I put successful people that are not grateful.
I don't necessarily put success and just tie it straight to money, right? We also tie it to being happy, right? So it's like,
yeah, I think for,
or at least for me,
yeah, I think to build on, like, for me and Max, I think obviously you have a family of kids. I think for me, my daughter's 16, 17 months old, like, it kind of clicked for me at, like, that day we were in the hospital. It's like this weird thing, and Max, you probably feel it, and you know, you can maybe understand this, but you don't feel it until you actually experience it. Like, my life just changed. I felt like overnight, and that sounds so cliche, but priorities just literally shifted, right? I'd never taken any time off of work really prior, and I took 3 weeks off on paternity leave, and it was like the best thing looking back. And now, you know, on the next one, I might take off six, who knows? Just because being able to spend the time and being there, and now I feel so successful in so many different ways. I feel successful because every morning I get to wake up and hang out with my daughter, and I don't have to start work if I don't want to till 8 or 9 a.m., right? I got to go have lunch. Like, right before this call, I had lunch with my wife and my daughter. We were just hanging out. So, Max, to your point, like, my kind of definition of success early on was financial, right? And recognition. I think now, obviously, those things are important, but those are kind of secondary to family and health and some of those.
Yeah. I mean, just to add into that is that a lot of people want to do the entrepreneurial thing, business thing for the financial status and success. And they get to the end of their goal, whatever it may be, and then they've destroyed all their relationships, or they have nothing. Everything. So, like, what are we even doing this for if it's not to have the life we want to have the best relationships possible? It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, not to be corny, but I'm in total alignment as well. We should have some friction on a show, right, with three people. But
let's rock it.
There's a really great book called The Master and the Emissary, and it's a really fascinating brain book. But one of the things that you tease out of there is, so if I would say to you guys, pose the question to you, so I'll go to you first, Chase. What do you think drives the most happiness empirically in life? Is it health? Is it wealth? Is it some other thing? What would you say?
I think for me, it's a tie between connection, like connection with others. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, health, right? You know, if you're not healthy, right, the amount of connection that you have is probably going to be limited. And if you don't have that connection, you're going to be lonely, right? I think those are the two that stand out to me.
Yeah. Max?
I couldn't agree more that I find most joy connecting. So obviously family, huge sense of happiness and joy there. But there's nothing better than, like, working with great people and seeing them succeed. There's nothing so much, you know, better than that. But when you see it with your kids, you see it with your kids or with your wife, it's like all the more so, like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
And to be fair too, to build on your point, I think when you are doing meaningful work with people that you respect and care about, that's just a different kind of bank account than when you're being, you know, yes manning or doing the got to stuff versus the get to stuff. Kind of wrapping out and landing the plane on that. You guys are absolutely correct. So health was not the top leading indicator. Wealth was not the top leading indicator. It was the depth and breadth of the social connections. And that is what makes, and I don't know if you guys ever traveled to, I don't know what the term, not impoverished, but, you know, countries that don't have a grand, big disparity in terms of earnings. And you can see some of the happiest people there. And you're like, how? And then, you know, like, I know fairly wealthy people. I'm sure you guys do too, where they're maybe not, you know, the the most happy person. And you're just like, man, you have all this. And so it's almost what you said in that line, Max, is like, you work to get everything, but you lose everything. And so it's just like this paradoxical, like, so you're working to lose everything?
Or to not build.
Doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, exactly.
Connections. Yeah.
I love it. All right, cool. Yeah. We'll elevate the vibe here.
Let's go. Let's
go. Why'd you stay in California? What's so great about California? You love it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we're pretty spoiled out here. Like, the weather is good, you know, 99% of the year. Like, every time I'm playing basketball, whether it's in the winter or the fall, the spring, all my friends elsewhere, like, you're playing basketball outside, like, it's 30 degrees here. So I don't know. The big thing is, like, the weather's good. That's great. But, you know, family is local. My brothers live within a couple mile radius. My mom, my dad, my in-laws, right? Everyone that I really care about, not everyone, but most people I care about live within a 10, 15 mile radius. So for me, like, living anywhere else just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I love that. All right, folks, let's get into the value add segment, the reason you bought the ticket to the show. Okay, Chase, we're going to start with kind of a general, kind of higher level one. What's your take on what the impact has been in present day, kind of iOS 14 ramifications and privacy changes coming down the pike? And then what do you think the future is going to hold?
Yeah, so I'm, as an email marketer, I'm not personally as involved with, like, top of the funnel iOS 14, 14.5. That being said, right, we have about 150 brands that we work with at our agency. And I've just seen, like, how drastic that's been on a lot of them. So, you know, I sympathize with those brands and with a bunch of others, just knowing that, like, this is a challenge. It's a legitimate thing. It's not like, you know, this media buyer sucks or that media buyer sucks, right? Maybe that could be part of it for some people, right? But in most cases, you know, the platforms are getting tougher. And, you know, Nick, as my partner, always talks about the focus on content, right? And how content needs to be at the forefront, and it's less now moving this or moving that. So yeah, to truthfully answer that, like, I don't know as much as a lot of other people do in terms of that. More of the stuff that I'm looking at and watching closely is the iOS 15, because that's directly applicable to me and kind of what I do. And for those that don't know, that's basically Apple kind of doing the whole type of thing that they did on Facebook and Instagram and all these other platforms, but for email for Apple users, where they're going to mask kind of like IP and the ability to see which of those users actually open. So for me, iOS 15 is a lot more kind of top of mind and relevant.
Wow. So can you expand a bit on what that iOS 15 looks like for retention marketers, brands, and things like that? I know you had like a big summit, right? Now, you did something big recently with some of the big email service providers, right?
Yeah, I think it was June or July. I can't even remember at this point. In July, I had about six of the large ESP founders and CEOs on this summit where we talked about iOS 15. At that point, I think it had only been out for like a couple of weeks. So it was just this kind of hour-long session where I picked their brains around, like, is email dead? You know, what's coming? Like, what can we expect? And it was kind of interesting to hear their responses, like, you know, unanimously, and obviously they're probably biased, they very much said email marketing is not dead. We're just going to have to pivot and change how we do things. So today in email, most of the time we're leveraging what's called an engaged segment. So it's typically based off of people that open and or click, and maybe you can add things in that people purchased recently. But the really big metric that we're looking at today in a pre-iOS 15 world is the open rate. That kind of gives us some indication of, do we keep sending to this person or not? And the engaged period ranges from, you know, 30 days kind of on the restrictive side all the way up to 120, 150 days. The benchmark that we've always used is we want to get a 20% open rate or higher on a campaign. Mm-hmm. And a campaign is a one-time send to a group of people. And on the automation side, a flow side, that's basically an email that's triggered off of a behavior and action event, abandoned cart email, for example. Right? The open rate's there. You want to see 30, 40, 50, 60% or higher. So that ability to see and build that engaged segment based off an open is going to go away for, you know, a decent percentage of your users, right? Anyone that's using the Apple kind of ecosystem is going to be masked. So right now, say we send to 100 people on an Apple device, maybe 20 or 30 of those people will open. We can see each of those people that open, where they're based, what they're doing, all their activity. Of those 100 people moving forward, it's going to now say all 100 of them open, which obviously, right, we don't have 100% open rate. There's no way. No one's that good, right? So that's going to be hard for us to figure out, like, well, who do we send emails to and how do we know? Then we're going to have to pivot to other ways of engagement, right? who's clicked, who's been active on our website, who's been viewing our products, who's been starting carts, who's been adding to checkout, who's been purchasing, right? And again, those metrics obviously are better in terms of having a sense of engagement, but the pool is going to be a lot smaller, right? The number of people that open versus taking all these other steps is pretty big in terms of the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. It's almost in a weird way analogous, like as basically what you're saying to some of the impacts that we felt in the paid media world, right? Where it's like you're taking it like retargeting audiences or, you know, not what they used to be lookalikes or just absolutely a thing of the past. Like unless it's, there's just a lot of the old paradigms are just going to get really turned on their head. And so if you actually, shameless plug for Chase, he, if you want to know more about this stuff and figure it out, he has a really, really awesome course and we'll link it in the show notes. If you want to throw him some money and get way down the path of email proficiency, he's the man. So building off of that, we have Black Friday kind of looming. It's coming up. Personally, I think people sleep on email in terms of Black Friday. I think people are way too indexed on paid just for the sheer fact of, so I went to school for economics. That's how my brain works. I just see the world through an economic lens. And just by like Facebook, by this is the CPM digression, but like Facebook can't raise CPMs by the function. Like if you know how the auction works, it doesn't raise CPMs. What it can do is put more inventory to make money, right? So instead of showing you one one ad in your feed, they can put out now two ads or whatever, and that they can make more money from. They can't raise impressions. However, the CPM will rise if the demand rises. And so you have all these big hitters, everybody spending like these people, you're fighting against balance sheets that you have no chance. You just have no chance of competing against. And I actually know some very prominent buyers that will basically spend up to Black Friday, like overspend the account and then cut the ads for the whole Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of weekend. And then they just crush email and they just crush email. Sorry, I kind of totally diluted that question, but what would you do or what are some tips to give to people in terms of, you know, tighten up their email situation and making it optimal for Black Friday coming up, Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and this is something I was talking with my team about earlier, and we kind of broke this into three categories. So I'm going to talk about creative strategy for pre-Black Friday, Cyber Monday, during, and post. So starting with like the pre. So the campaigns, again, the one-time send to a group of people, product launches, holiday offers, those type of things, those should really be about teasing kind of like upcoming sales. But we're really going to focus on kind of building our engaged audience, right? We want people to engage. We want people to click. We want people to reply. We want them to drag us from their promotions into the primary. We don't want to go too heavy right now on a bunch of discounts to burn them out with promotions before the week of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, because whatever you offer today isn't going to be as great as what you're going to offer, you know, during that period of time. That's not to say don't do any discounts and whatnot, but don't go super heavy on sales and promotion right now. Just start teasing and building kind of the hype. That's on the campaign side. On the kind of flow or the automation side, we want to kind of start gearing those to be more Black Friday, Cyber Monday oriented. So we want to include language about it. Maybe even like in our abandonment series, so our abandoned car or abandoned checkout, we want to include language that, hey, you know, we're going to now play on the scarcity, kind of the FOMO side. If you don't buy this today, there's chances that like come Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we're going to run out of stock, right? A lot of stores obviously don't have endless and kind of limitless inventory. So stock is going to sell out. So even just teasing and kind of dropping some of that messages into some of your automations today, like that alone will hopefully push people to buy from you or at least help. And then kind of the pop-up, right? The way that we collect emails on the website should talk about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, what's coming, and get people on the list and start introducing them to what's going to come. And again, these leads might stay potentially cold until Black Friday and Cyber Monday because they're really joining for that period of time. But that's kind of on the pre side. Does that make sense before I go to kind of the during side?
Yeah, so
quick question. How far in advance do you start warming these guys up?
So right now, kind of when this is going to come out will be towards the end of Q3, you know, ASAP, right? Like September, October are really the months to like capitalize and start building and start preparing for this, because come November, it's going to be probably too late, right? You're going to have so many other things you have to do. So I would start preparing for this stuff and at least building the calendar and creating some of the assets and doing your photo shoots now. It's always better to kind of over prepare than it is to under prepare, especially since, you know, an overwhelming amount of your revenue is going to come during this 1 week period. Right. You'd rather, no one's going to look back and be like, oh man, I spent way too much time preparing, right? So I would start like ASAP.
would you say during this time period that you start sort of preparing and warming up this list, it's also a good time to start to turn off any kind of in discounts and sales and things like that? Just really start to focus it in on the coming big sale right around that same time period?
Yeah, I wouldn't say you have to turn it off like entirely, but I would do a lot less, you know, than you typically do, right? So in a given month, if you're doing multiple, you know, I would probably cut that, you know, down by half, mm-hmm. right? I would do half the amount of promotion that you normally do, potentially even more. Again, you might want to capitalize on certain things depending on if you have like a anniversary sale or something really important in the interim, right? Maybe like your big thing is Halloween and maybe that's where you get a lot of your guys' customers coming in. So there are certain occasions where like they wouldn't kind of apply to those general rules. But in most cases, yeah, you kind of want to peel back how much you're doing in terms of promo and more just focus on hyping and giving people updates and giving them education sure. and trying to focus on expanding and kind of bolstering your engaged
Got store. It. You want to move on to during?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so during, we want to be more aggressive during Black Friday and Cyber Monday with our campaigns. So I think most brands probably are sending 1 to 3, maybe 2 to 4 campaigns a week. We obviously want to move to a daily email during that week period of time if you know you have the resources and bandwidth. So instead of sending once or twice or a few times a week, if you can, the ideal thing is to do is to send daily. A lot of other people are going to send a lot of emails. If you send 7 emails out during that 1 week, chances are people only might see 1 or 2, potentially 3. So don't feel like you're overdoing it. I think at this point now, subscribers really are accustomed to using mm-hmm. and receiving kind of a lot of emails. So increase the frequency on the campaigns. Also on the flows. So typically during the flows, let's use like the abandoned cart, mm-hmm. for example. We're going to want to increase the timing of those emails. So right now, let's say the typical cadence of an abandoned cart sequence is someone abandons their cart. We send an email out maybe 2 hours later, and then the second email maybe a day later, and then the third email maybe 1 or 2 days later. We're going to want to cut that time in half. So we'll want to do email 1, let's say like 30 minutes later. We might want to do email 2 like 12 hours later. We want to do email 3 like a day later, right? So we really want to send those 3 emails out within, you know, 24 yeah. 36 hours, whereas typically outside of this period, that could be like a 48 to 72 yeah. hours. Just Powerful. Because there's so much happening and the window opportunity to capitalize is so short.
You know, and when you look at the metrics on an abandoned cart series and then also browse abandonment series just during regular time, I can only imagine what it's going to be like during this time period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not.
And it's I never, crazy. After so, doing this for, you know, 6 or 7 years, I've never ever switched. This is maybe embarrassing. I don't know. I've never switched my abandoned carts or my browse abandonments during this time period ever. So thank you.
Yeah, dude, you're welcome. And then kind of quickly talking about post Black Friday or Monday, and then if you guys have any questions or anything
just,
else.
Can I jump into a quick question for during? Because one thing I'm always trying to understand and just, you know, you're always kind of afraid of, am I sending too much, you know? And I think you're right. You know, people are saying so much that like, you can send a few that day. You can send a few more. So like, what do you think? What do you think is the good number? Let's say you open it up in the, you do an early bird midnight, right? So like during that, I always like to do that. Like open it up like midnight for the early bird opt-ins. So during the day, how many resends are you doing?
So the timing of the resend like is going to be interesting with it being like November. I think iOS 15 is going to be rolling out September, October. So resends is something that we would do in previous years. And we drove a lot of engagement, a lot of revenue from resends. And it's great because you basically take work that you've already done and you just get a almost double dip, for lack yeah. of a better word. You know, in this year might be different just because of iOS 15, like the ability to resend.
That's coming. iOS 15 is coming possibly this month.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to happen in the next like
wow.
The 13th is the announcement, or like the big event. So I'm sure it's going to be right on the heels of that, right? The 13th of September.
Yeah, so that's why I think like, you know, the mid to end of November when this happens, like I think by then it will probably be fully or mostly rolled out, is kind of what I'm understanding. So for Apple devices, I would just be careful with the resends. But if you can kind of segment out other users.
Wow.
I think you could go ahead and resend and try that.
Okay. Good to know.
Cool. And then kind of to round this out, so post Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we kind of want to go back to not mentioning discounts or promotions for like 1 to 2 months. Again, this isn't saying don't do any, right? You might want to do some, but like keep it a little bit less frequent, right? People have been really burnt out by all the emails they're going to receive from you and everyone else. they're going to spend a bulk of their wallet share during that 1 week period, right? They're going to do most of their holiday shopping and kind of their selfish shopping for themselves during that period. So do less discounting and really more focus on engaging them with stories, educational content, getting them to participate through replying and clicking and whatever it might be. That's on the campaign side. And then on the flow side, we want to focus on asking customers for reviews, right? We're going to have a lot of new customers that come through the pipeline during that week. We want to collect a ton of UGC, ton of content. We want to introduce the brand. We want to introduce the team. We want to talk about the story. We really want to keep them engaged and interested in the brand just as much as they were interested during that one period of time. But we want to do it, you know, through kind of engaging and focusing on the community. So that's kind of how I think about like pre, during, and post Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Let me just get your, maybe make a comment here, spark a small conversation. But so we kind of like stop the sales after Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But there's a few other deadlines that I think people can capitalize on, which is like, you know, last time to get it by the USPS's cutoff dates, right? So like get your orders in now. So as we get closer to the 25th and the actual holidays, there's also some really cool build-ups there that can maybe do that whole hype series again and have a nice little payday at the end of the holiday season.
Yeah, that's something we do for a lot of our brands is we do highlight like the last cutoff, last days. I'm curious to see this year if those are kind of earlier than normal, just with everything happening like with logistics and fulfillment and shipping. So I think for everyone, you know, thinking about that, and that's a great call, like look at that sooner rather than later, because you're going to probably have to start preparing for that probably a couple of days, if not like a week sooner than typical. And in there, like you don't have to give discounts. Like the call to action and kind of the urgency, and the FOMO is the fact that you're going to potentially miss out on receiving an item. And so I think, you know, not having to do a lot of discounts, potentially a discount right at the last minute, if you still haven't got people to kind of go over the edge. But I would start that out with just what you mentioned, just the fear of missing out on getting something in your hands on time. And then if from there, right, if people do miss the deadlines, you then move to like digital gift cards, right?
Yeah.
Send a gift card, buy a gift card, doing that type of thing.
Yeah. So not necessarily sacrificing revenue as the, I guess, CTA in a sense, but it's really just that fear of missing out. A solid strategy.
Yeah.
And then obviously the digital gift card, like what is better than that when it comes close to the holiday season?
Yeah, that's strong. Look at that. All on a free podcast, people. Can you believe it? Okay. Last question in the main the value add segment, kind of quirky, but what is one of the, cause I know through your course, everything, you're a big, advocate of testing. What's one test that you were really shocked or a test result that you were shocked by where it's like, this is definitely the hitter. And then it's the other one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how helpful this is or isn't going to be for people. For me, I was kind of shocked by it. If you guys are on my newsletter, you guys probably typically notice that I send from my actual email address as the phone name. So if you look at my email, instead of saying Chase Diamond, it's going to say chase@chasediamond.com. Like, so everyone else is going to be like Triple Whale, right? Like whatever the stores are, Nordstrom's, Macy's. And then it's going to say chase@chasediamond as a from name. So by accident, one of the times we did that with one of our brands, we had it, instead of doing the from name as the actual name, we'd done it as the email, which is also the from email address. And we were just shocked. We're like, holy shit, the open rates like skyrocketed. We're like, is this legit? What happened here? Is this sustainable? So I've been testing probably for the last like 3 to 6 months on my own weekly newsletter. And every time I've done it, you know, I get an additional like 5 to 15% of people opening the email. So, you know, on lists, like I send to 20,000 people every week. So, you know, I'm getting a couple hundred people opening more every week. So
yeah,
that's it's been kind of interesting. We tried it for a lot of our clients. So again, try it for years. I'm not sure if it's the fact that it's still somewhat new.
Right.
It's kind of the reason why I have the uptick. And obviously if everyone on the podcast goes to do it over time, it's probably going to diminish the results, right? There's this saying, or there's this law, I don't know if it's a real one or a made up one, but it's called the law of shitty click-throughs. And the more that someone does something, the less likely it is. Yeah. So like, for example, like when you first used to send emails like 20, 30 years ago, the amount of people that would open emails is really high. Now that everyone sends emails, right, it's come down. So with SMS right now, because there's still not a ton of people doing it, you know, the open rates are really, really high. I'm sure over time, right, that might decrease a little bit, although we all want to get rid of that notification on our phone that says we have one unread message. So we're going to probably open it regardless. But yeah, the from name is kind of an interesting one, and actually having it be your email.
That's incredible. Well, now you turned me on to one more thing, so I got to ask you about it. So SMS, I really do enjoy SMS, but What I've found is that the messaging cadence is, the ceiling is so low that it's really an accretive channel. Whereas email, like all my successful clients, they're 35 to 40% email. Like they just print money through email. And then we do add on SMS. But when we tried to kind of get quirky and get fun, it never worked. Literally, yeah. It was meat and potatoes. Hey, we just dropped this product. You guys are awesome. Buy it here. Or, hey, we're running an exclusive 20% off sale to our SMS subscribers here. But I hadn't been able to unlock. And in my own headspace, I was like, well, I don't really want to build a relationship through a text message on a brand. It's kind of what my pushback was. But mm-hmm. Are you seeing similar things, or am I just doing it wrong?
So my answer is I'm not an SMS person. We offer at our agency. We brought someone in that's a specialist. We're working with 25 or 30 SMS brands. And from what I understand, the clients are happy and we're seeing success. I don't think we're seeing as much success as we are on email, because in most cases, these clients' lists are bigger. We've been doing it for longer. There's more infrastructure. We can send more frequently, right? So I think for us, in most cases, the cadence is typically like once a week is kind of like the threshold.
Yeah,
that's also what I think.
If we move into 2 and 3 a week, that kind of gets a little bit aggressive and a little bit annoying, unless the content and the expectation was to be multiple times per week.
Fair point.
I think that's a really important piece that most people miss, right? Is if someone starts sending you a daily email and they never told you they're going to send you daily, you're like, what the heck? Like, I never signed up for this. But if someone told you they're going to send you a daily email, right, the expectation and the framing is there. So I think with SMS, you know, you have to be really, you know, upfront and kind of forthright about what the cadence is going to be, if it's going to be more than once per week. It's going to be once per week, maybe sometimes twice. I think you're okay not saying anything. But if it's going to be more aggressive, then you want to give people a heads up.
That is brilliant advice. That's breaking the trust with them.
Sure.
That's brilliant, Chase.
Another thing to add, which some people don't think about this from my experience, is that the automations on SMS are also phenomenal. You know, so like the abandoned cart series, even the opt-in, right? So give us your phone number, so on and so forth. So that will just magnify your retention efforts. It's massive.
Yeah, I love that.
Don't forget to change the frequency when it gets into Black Friday.
Turn it up, people. Turn it to 11. Chase, I can't believe you made it to Rapid Fire. I am so impressed. All right, put your battle armor on. We're going to jump in. You ready?
Let's do it.
Email, overrated, underrated?
Underrated.
TikTok, overrated, underrated?
Underrated. Why? I think a lot of content, a lot of possibility to go viral. I think TikTok, you know, the amount of time that I just think it passed YouTube in terms of people actually spending time on it. I posted a video when it first started and I had like 500,000 or 600,000 views and I had no followers, right? So the ability for people to go viral is pretty crazy.
I love that. Yosemite, overrated or underrated?
I've never been, so
what's your favorite California park?
Not sure. Never been to one. Probably the park down the street that my daughter
runs. I love
that. Got a killer swing set.
Oh man, have you seen that merry-go-round? Mint. what's your favorite meal?
Favorite meal? I love Italian food. Italian food or Mexican food. So, I mean, anything from any of those places is fair game.
Is there good Italian in California?
Yeah, really good Mexican food where we are, and some pretty good Italian food.
That's strong. What's the favorite place you've traveled to?
Favorite place? My wife and I went on a honeymoon to Canada. We spent a week in Vancouver, and then we spent a week in Banff National Park. And Banff National Park was to die for. So if my favorite California national park is the one in Banff, Canada.
It's funny. It's good.
That's amazing. What's your favorite way to spend your free time?
Free time lately has been going on walks after work with my wife and my daughter.
That's beautiful.
The best.
That's beautiful. Who's your favorite follow on Twitter?
Favorite follow on Twitter? Triple Whale.
Look at this guy. This guy. Okay, we'll close with this. If you could take one thing back to the Middle Ages, what would it be? The only caveat is you have to be able to carry. And we'll ask you too, Max.
The Middle Ages. I'm obsessed with basketball right now. Did they have hoops and basketballs? If I don't know if I could carry either of those, but I can carry the basketball.
That is the proverbial ball is life. That's amazing, Chase. You could take anything and you take it back. I love you. That's amazing. Max, what would you take back?
Man, that's a serious question. Probably a lighter.
Strong. I like it.
Nice.
I was going to take back a book of history. And then I know what happens.
There you go.
Everything that happens. But to be fair, I knew the question, so I had time to prepare. Chase, you're doing some really cool stuff. Tell us about it and how people can get involved.
Yeah, the best place to find me in terms of learning about email marketing and agency, this, that, and the other is on Twitter. Handles ecom Chase Diamond, no A in Diamond, just D-I-M-O-N-D. And then I think by the time that this drops, my Black Friday summit will be there, be happening. We're excited to have Max speaking about Q4 data, whatever he's talking about. I don't actually even know, but it's going to be sick. BlackFridaySummit.com. So it's free, 100% virtual, 100% live, 100% online. And I'm looking forward to it.
I love it. And then he also has an amazing email course that he plugged. We'll drop links into there. We have a free newsletter as well, people, called Whale Mail. You can go find it on, follow us on Twitter at TryTripleWhale, and it's right there on our profile page. Max, you have anything else?
That's it. I mean,
that's it. Number two in the books.
This was stacked with some good stuff here. So.
Yeah, this was fun.
Incredible. Coming out of the gates hard. I love it. Chase, you're the man. Enjoy California. Thanks so much for your time. If you're ever out in Austin or Columbus, come say hi to your Triple Whale family. And that's it for us, folks. Have a whale of a day.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Bye.